I'm a skateboarder, so I use a lot of slang terms, and I try not to use a lot of curse words, and so I use a lot of slang. I'll usually explain it after, hopefully. But anyways, first thing I was going to do was who here is from the church? Like, who would call this church home? Put up your hand. And what I'll do is I'll get you to gather everything that you brought and put it on your lap real quick. I'll wait till then. It's 5, 4. I don't have a watch on. Just kidding. And then if you see anyone that is sitting by themselves, go sit next to them because we're not about people sitting by themselves. So if there's anyone around you and they like to be by themselves, sorry, guys, you're not going to be by yourself today. So you get a little cuddle or whatever, a little kiss, and just become friends is all I'm saying. So thank you for everyone who just uncomfortably moved next to someone they don't know. Introduce yourselves. If they're married, don't touch them. If they're not married, pat on the bum, a little cuddle, a kiss, whatever you guys want to do. Like, it's good. It's good to go. you guys are awesome. Okay, other than that, I want to do, before I start, when Mike or Pastor Mike or whatever his name is here at this church, just Mike, this big Mike.
Yeah.
He touched on some stuff that was so gnarly or so awesome. Sorry. I need like a stool or something. Yeah, there's an iPad on it, so I don't want to sit a water on an iPad. Do I just like this? Or? Just kidding. He touched on some gnarly stuff that I just wanted to speak to you really quickly. One thing he talked about, like, what if you're a student and you have $10 left and you're going to give it in faith or whatever, something like that is what he said. All I could think of was David, when he became King David, and he redirected the entire, like, economy of the entire, you know, his kingdom at the time, and they brought it into worship. And he transformed the way of worship. He transformed, like, the Lord didn't necessarily ask him, like, do all this for me, but he saw such a value in the Lord. Basically, my point is, Jesus is never going to be bummed, if you're never going to be sad, if you are wasting your money on him. Wasting is a pretty improper word. If you're lavishing your love on him, if you're lavishing your money on him, if you're lavishing your whatever, one of the things that's one of the revelations he's given me in giving this year with my time, my money, and whatever, is just, like, he may ask for certain things, and I'll do that. But there's other opportunities where, like, he says that what you do unto your friends, you're doing to me. And so he just says, like, there's opportunities where I'll see my friends where I'd be like, how can I love on you? How can I honestly give more money? It's like, oh, you don't have supper. Like, we think it's a little thing, but it's literally you're giving to the Lord. And when you can shift that in your mindset, oh, my goodness. Like, you can literally sit and be like, Jesus, I love you, and buy someone dinner. Or, like, I love you, and I don't need my car anymore. Here, have my car. Like, it can get to that point where Jesus never asks it of you, but you get to worship him in that. Anyways, I wanted to further that. The other thing I kind of wanted to speak into or prophesy into was he talked about you guys being a young people, a youth, or you guys. What are you talking about? I'm part of C3. We're a young people. We're a crazy people, wild people. We are, like, just meeting, I've met a couple people, maybe 10 or 15 people from the church this morning and throughout the weekend, and everyone is from different walks of life. Some people are artists, some people are students, some people are in construction, some people are in business, some people are everything. Who here knows that Jesus doesn't do anything by accident? Like, he seriously doesn't at all. And so those things, the reason that this church is made up of so many different people is because Jesus is forging a way in this city. And you can see between the friendships of the different churches within the city with C3 and C3 with them, that you guys are forging a path, forging a way that all the different faces, like I said this a couple weeks ago in church, and again, it's not racist, but red and yellow, black and white, we're all precious in his sight. You guys don't laugh at anything, hey? Like, this is so bad. I guess I can't do serious and funny at the same time. But basically, all I'm saying is that, like, because you guys were not put here by accident, like, you're the different way you guys look, the different way you guys do you, the different way you guys are, it's not by accident. Jesus put you here so that you guys can build a foundation for when the artists flood in. You can build a foundation for when the business people flood in. So you can build a foundation for when the construction or the hicks or the whatever, like the skaters or the whatever, like, I mean, there's tons of bad slang terms you can use about people and whatever, skaters and dirty skid rats and whatever you want to call it. Like, anyone on the earth, it doesn't, however you identify yourself, you're building a foundation for those people. Like, you are an answer to prayer. You literally are. Like, to forget that you are not important, like, or to forget that you are important, to think that you're not important, to think that you aren't an answer to prayer, is total BS. It's a lie. Because you literally, like, you by sitting in this church, someone asked for you to be here. Someone asked, Lord, would you send an artist? Would you send someone with a short crew cut and glasses, and maybe he'll wear plaid so he doesn't look so weird in his whatever, you know? Like, someone prayed for you is all I'm trying to say. I got a giggle out of that one, so that one's kind of okay. So, man, you guys don't have any fun, eh? Just kidding. I would like you guys to laugh at me, and you guys can yell me down, and if you say no really loud, that's okay, too. Like, whatever you guys want to say. I usually bark a lot or, like, do whatever. Like, any sort of rap chant music you can hear in pop music on the radio, like, I'll do it. So you guys better be about it. That's all I'm saying. Okay. So, okay, you guys are quiet again. Okay, so I'll quickly introduce myself because I don't always speak, so I'm not going to, you know, abuse my time like these two did, but I'm just kidding. I want to welcome the moms again. You guys are beautiful and you're awesome. And again, people with mother's hearts, like, it seems like every, God seems to move me in like 1 or 2 year period, so I'll move around a lot. And every time I go into a new city, he puts a mother in my life. And it's seriously, I'm a mama's boy. So it just like speaks to me and it like touches me. So I just want to talk about my mom this morning because I know this has been recording and I told her I would. she's a babe. She is. But she's so awesome. And she's seriously a hero. And like when I look at my friends, like I'll invite my friends over. And if I'm like, oh, text them, I'm like, hey, I'm an hour late. Like, and they're like, it's cool, I'm chilling with your mom. And they'll just be hanging at my house, and they'll just be, like shooting it, just hanging out with my mom and, like, making friends. My mom, like, knows how to become people's friends. She knows how to lead. She knows how to complain really well. She knows that. Sorry, Mom. Anyways, I'm just crazy proud of my mom because my mom made me who I am today. My mom had so much grace. My mom had the balls to call me out when I was, like, a little idiot when I was a little kid, you know what I mean? Like, and I'm an idiot now still sometimes. Idiot's the wrong word. I'm a little rambunctious. It's a really great word. Anyways, but she would call me out and she said, Levi, like, if you, for instance, one time I was in Medicine Hat and I was doing some skateboard ministry out there, and this will feed in. I'll finish the second half of the story in whatever I'm speaking about, but I was out there and she called me. I hadn't talked to her in like a month or two. And she called me, and she just said, Levi, I don't know where you're at, but I was praying for you. And she said, I don't know where you're at, but if you don't pick up your socks, you're not going to be following the Lord in 6 months. And it was totally, like, it just, like, I sat, and I stepped outside of myself, and I looked at my path and where I was headed, and she was totally right. And the Lord just spoke to her, and, like, if she didn't call me out that day, I don't know if I'd be here today. And so, like, mothers who pray, keep praying and keep diving in and keep grinding and keep going and keep going. And people who don't have kids, be praying for other people's kids. Like, it's literally the saying that says, like, it takes like a whole town to raise a child is not a lie. And it's not, it's so true. Because any of you guys knowing the dynamics that you have, like, we're not one straight line people. We don't have one thing about us. We're very dynamic. It has to do a lot with the way that people care for us, the way people, like, invested in us and whatever else. So mothers, keep praying, please. I love my mom. Again, I'm going to go quickly now. I am 24 years old. I'm who all here, all the single girls raise your hands? Two hands went up, like one and a half hands went up. I'm single, so that's what I'm trying to say. usually people have to call it out, but I'm not ashamed. I'll call it out. I'm 24 years old. I skateboard. I'm a hairstylist. I have done different outreach ministries. My heart is more evangelistic, and apparently it's a little bit prophetic, as Brock says. I worked as a youth pastoring at C3 Calgary last year, and it was awesome. Love that church so much. Again, that's my home church. I went through this whole past year. The reason that I kind of stepped back from youth ministry is I went and sat through the school this year. That was phenomenal. It's called Gateway School of Supernatural. And it just basically, I got 9 months set aside to sit before the Lord. And it, like, I have, like, I don't have the medical ADD, but I literally, I can't sit for too long. So sitting in school and university and everything like that didn't work so well. I would walk around to the back of the classrooms, and like it would make all the teachers uncomfortable because like they'd be trying to teach, and I'm just like this, like back of the box. I'm just kidding. But I have to walk around and stuff like that. But it was amazing this year just to basically see the way Jesus thought about me. When people were like, what did you get out of this year? It was just like, I saw how Jesus thinks about me. And it was like, that's all of it summed up in one thing. And that's going to be like where I'm preaching from this morning. Again, we learned a little bit in the prophetic, and I got crazy faith for healing and everything like that. So if you're sick, come talk to me and let's pray for you after. If you need some prayer or whatever, like let's do it. So I asked Brock, I said, what's the subject for this morning? He said, 1 Corinthians 13. I said, way to narrow it down. And then I opened my Bible and I looked and remembered that it is, I could preach 10,000 sermons on this one verse. It's called the love chapter. I think it's called love chapter, right? Yeah, sure. I don't know. It's called the love chapter. I'm only going to read a snippet of it because, again, you can preach from every single angle of it. It's about love. Let's put up 1 Corinthians 13. It's up there. It's awesome. We're good. Okay, I'm going to face this way if that's okay. Don't look at my bum. If I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains, but didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor, and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. That literally covers all of the things that, like, God's like, go feed the poor, like, take care of this, do that, believe for, have faith in the mustard seed, do all that. And I'm not discrediting everything we're talking about. I'm not. But he says, if you don't first have love, if you don't function out of love, if those things don't come out of love, it's useless. It's useless. So I just wanted to talk about first about the need. Like there is a need. You guys all know that we all need love. I know we notice it more when we get abused in the opposite way, where our love is either taken or we've gone through a certain situation where our love was mishandled. Our hearts were mishandled. I don't usually quote, but I'm quoting Mother Teresa this morning. She says, the hunger for love is much more difficult to remove than the hunger for bread. And when I read that, I was like, holy smokes, Jesus. Like, we can just sit and we can throw what we have at people, and then we can turn and walk away. Because for me, when I give money or give something to someone, if I don't want to deal with it, it's just like, hey, like, here, this dealt with your, let's put a Band-Aid on your wound. And then I can walk away wrongly, and I get convicted as I'm walking away, but walk away and be like, I don't have to look at it anymore. But the things that we do for people are just Band-Aids. The way that, unless they come out of a function of love, unless it starts in love. It's not about what we do, it's where our actions come from. That is the key. That's what changes the earth. If we don't have love, we have nothing. And again, if you disagree with this, I didn't put verse 8 up there. I forgot to. But I have it right here in my Biblia. If you guys disagree, like, I kind of was thinking, I was just like, I wonder if, like, maybe people will hate my theology on this anyways. So I went to verse 8. And verse 8 says, prophecy and speaking in unknown languages and special knowledge will become useless, but love will last forever. That literally means that we can do all day, but if we don't love, boom. Like your actions literally, they can go this far. They can only go so far. The Lord's calling us, like, or I guess I'm getting ahead of myself. The next point or whatever I have, I'm not crazy organized, is how to love properly. And it's like, so we know there's a need. We know there's a need over here. We know that there are a bunch of people that, like, who knows there's people out there that are stinky? Who knows there are people out there that don't brush their teeth, don't wash their bum, don't blow their nose? Like, people who have never been taught how to brush their hair, people who aren't like us and we don't understand. And, like, those stinky kids in school. I remember in high school going and sit at lunchroom, and Jesus was like, I want you to go hang out with that kid. And be like, but he'll fart on me. And God's like, cool. Like, he's like, you know, no, I made farts too. Like, I was like, oh, dang it. But no, like, I'm just trying to, you guys really are not laughing. All I'm trying to say is there are people out there that don't look like us, and he's calling us to love them. And he's calling us whatever. So we know the need. Now we want to know the how. We can go on for days talking strategy about, like, okay, if I, like, you even read in the verse, I'm not going to go over it, but I will brush it quickly, where it says, like, love is patient, love is kind, love is not jealous, love is boastful. If you made a list of that, and you're like, like huge list. They're like, okay, now I need to learn how to love. And you just sit there and you just stare at this list. Oh, I need to be patient. I need to be. And you make this list and you start trying to check it off in your life. You could try all day. You could try your entire life just to go off this list and be like, okay, hey, my cousins just walked in. Hey, guys, how's it going? sorry to point you out. You can go all day off this list. And you could try to build off it all day. But it doesn't matter. If we try to do that, we're no better than the Pharisees trying to live off of a religious law. We're no better than church trying to do church for the sake of church. It's not for the sake of church, it's for the sake of the Lord. And so it's not what we do. It's where we come from. If we want to love effectively, we have to change the world with our love. We have to ask ourselves, okay, man, I built up, and then I let you guys down there. we have to ask ourselves, how connected are we to the source? That's like the true question. It's like, how connected are we to the source? If love comes from the Lord, if Jesus says, I am love, the commandments, when they're like, what are the most important ones? Because I can't follow all 10. What the heck are the most important ones? They're like, love God and love others. Love God and love others. And he says, if there was some, it's love God, love others. Love God, love others. So if that's a mandate for our life and you're trying to live it off of a list, you're going to be broken every step of the way. You're going to find yourself falling short and you're going to be so frustrated. And I've done this. I've been there. I've done this so much where you come and you're like, okay, if I just spend more time with people, if I just give them more money or if I just feed them or if I put them up in my house, and don't get me wrong, none of those are bad things, but it's where we come from that is the issue. If we come from a place of like, I can give all day to these people and what I give will fix them, that has nothing to do with it. It's where I come from. If I'm able to step forward and say, here's a Tootsie Roll. Tootsie Rolls suck, by the way. But here's a Tootsie Roll. Actually, not as bad as the black candies that grandma gives you at church. My mom did when I was tired. Anyways. Here's a Tootsie Roll, but I come with this much love because I come from the King. And it's literally just like, you see people weep over, we were out doing ministry with our school last week, and one of the students, she told a story, and she gave $10 to someone, and $10 is nothing. We went to Starbucks today, and I spent 10 bucks on coffee and a sandwich. I didn't actually, Mike did. Praise, or give Mike, woo, he bought me coffee this morning. But she gave $10, and this person started weeping. And she just said, just like Mike said, it was just like, that can literally change a life because of where it comes from. Because of where it comes from. So my question is, how connected are we to the source? Like, we can spend time and time and time with the Lord, but it doesn't matter how, because I drive and I'll listen to worship music or I fall asleep to it sometimes and whatever. But if I'm not, I mean, it's good for your subconscious, but if you're not focusing on the Lord, you could spend 7 hours a day thinking about Jesus. But Jesus, like, I can think about my wife all day, but until I meet her, it's like useless. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't have a wife. Again, I'm single, guys. but all I'm saying is, like, we can spend all day thinking about the Lord, and he wants us to sing songs about you. Look at the way the Psalms are out. They're just like, how beautiful are you, Lord? Like, how great, like, how gracious are you? Like, how handsome are you? Like, all these things about him. But he wants us to be like, where are you going to meet me? He said, I'm literally standing right here. And you're looking up in the sky thinking, wow, God is so cool. God is, and again, those aren't wrong, but he's standing right here and he's just like, would you look towards me? Would you spend more time with me? Would you whatever? And like, would you invest? Well, I just put it right here, yeah. Would you invest in me? The question is, how connected are you to the source? Jesus changed the world with his love and compassion because he was so close with the Lord. I'm going to put up that John 15 one. You're so awesome. I gave her the verses like a second before church. She's so awesome. This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way I have loved you. If you just stop and think about that for like in one verse, like how did Jesus love us? He literally came. So first of all, he's God. He's part of God. He's God's son. So he came from like having everything, being able to do everything, being able to conquer, and being able to like triumph, stepping down to where we are, like we're humans. We're very limited. I can only reach this far because I'm only 6'2". I can only jump like this high if I want because I'm only this big. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, we can only be so funny and C3 Saskatoon won't laugh. Like, you can only be a certain amount because we're human. So Jesus came as a human. He literally humbled himself and he's like, oh, dang. But could you imagine going from direct connection with the Lord? Like you're literally like living, like you are Jesus is, he is the Lord. So he's there, he's feeling it. And then having to be like, and starting as a human and having to be like, okay, Jesus, okay, Lord, where are you? He literally came and he sacrificed everything to come down to save us. So that's the way he loved us. Plus he went through a brutal murder and all this like gnarly stuff. That's meant like I was playing down. No, I'm not playing that stuff down. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. So what I'm proposing, what I'm asking, what I'm seeing was, what do you guys think about by laying down your life for your friends, you lay it down before the Lord? Because if you lay it down before the Lord, if you come and meet with the source, if you come and meet, get connected to the source so much that you literally just have to be like, I worship God, and someone's like, hey man, what's up? And you're like, hey, your breath smells like not stinkiness or not Thrills gum. Someone had Thrills gum. That was nasty. This stuff tastes like soap. She tweeted about it and I hated her on Twitter. It's gross. But you could literally go from like you're face to face with the Lord because you're just spending time with the Lord. You're getting connected to the source is something I want to reiterate. Connected to the source. And then someone comes to talk to you or you see a need and it's just, you literally just go and you just have to walk. And you just have to walk. You read about these revivalists. You read about these people that are like changing lives who literally, like, Jesus, like just cruising in this huge, like, could you imagine? Do you ever think about what his robe was like when he was just chilling? Like, I don't know whether it's like Versace or whether he's like chilling in like this dirty, dirty old robe. But he's just sauntering with his crew, like just through like the masses like this. And some lady reaches up and she touches his robe. And he's just with the Lord. He's just cruising, chilling with his homies, with the Lord. Someone touches his robe and he's like, whoa. I've spent so much time with the Lord, laid my life down for my friends to be with Jesus so that the second that I could turn to him, one moment is enough to change their lives. One moment is enough to not band-aid them, but to heal them. We're stuck in this 21st century or whatever century we're in. We're stuck in this place where you have this mindset in North America that we just need more money, Jesus, so we can give more Band-Aids. We just need more money so we can feed more people. And those aren't bad things to pray. I'm not discounting that. But what I'm saying is the Lord is just like, yeah, I can give you money, but what if I gave you my Holy Spirit? What if he literally gave us his Holy Spirit? It's right here. What if you accessed my Holy Spirit so that when you turn to that person, it's like, here's a sandwich and... sorry, I was about to use some... It doesn't matter. Slang term. Here's a sandwich, and here's that dirty old wound. Let me pray for it. Your ankle's broken, and you can't see either. You are awesome. I love you. You know, when Jesus, he didn't even say, all he said was like, you are healed. Get up. He didn't have to sit and intercede. And again, sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. I don't understand everything about healing because sometimes people don't get healed. But I do know that Jesus wants to heal every time. So you give him a sandwich, touch him on the shoulder, and just like, what up? What's up with your family? How are you doing? How's it going? Why are they down here? Hey, man, how's it going? Like, you're so cool. And just because you laid yourself down for your friends with the Lord, because you spent more time with the Lord, more of an investment with the Lord, got to know Jesus better. You got to know the Holy Spirit better. Just because of that, the second that you stepped out, you were effective. The second that you stepped out, you were effective. You weren't subpar. You weren't. We're all learning and we're all trying to figure it out and we're all supposed to aspire to be like Jesus. But there's no junior Holy Spirit. There's no like, here's step one of the Holy Spirit. There's no like, here's like a half amount of the Holy Spirit. He's like, he literally is just like, you read in Acts or whatever when they're just like, they sat for, what is it, overnight or 12 hours. I don't know how many hours it was. Sat and they're just like, because Jesus is like, don't leave this town until you meet the one I'm sending. And they're just like, woo, just worshiping. And then Holy Spirit drops, like, woo, drops down. And then they're all just like just go crazy because they've met the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's seriously sitting here waiting. Will you be baptized in the Holy Spirit? Will you accept me into your life? Blah, blah, blah. But, again, sorry, I'm not discounting that with the blah, blah, blahs. the Lord, the Spirit's right here. Will you just cruise with me? How about you get to know me? What does my face look like? What is my whatever? And we'll never know everything what Jesus looks like, because it talks about in Revelation and Isaiah these creatures that just fly around, and they jet around the kingdom with eyes all over their whole body, and they're so stoked in the Lord because he's infinite and he's crazy and he's wild and he's awesome. If you guys want to read about that, they're dope. But seriously, he's just like sitting in front of our faces, and he's just like, if you get to know me, when you go out, you'll be able to change that person's life. You won't just be able to help them. You'll be able to actually eradicate their sin and stomp on their like disease and stomp on their self-doubt and their crap. And just by loving, just by being. Awesome. Some verses are there. So there is no greater love than to lay down one's life for your friends. And so I literally am asking, like, God's, he's been putting this on my heart lately. Will you, and I'm not talking about, like, will you just pick up your Bible and read it more and whatever, and those are all things that we need to do, but will you sit before God, and again, you don't even know how hard this was for me to learn it because I'm so hyper all the time. Will you sit before the Lord, and you just say, Jesus, 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 and then listen. Nothing, no special anything. You can ask for whatever you want, but just listening and just looking. And do you know the things that, I mean, it says like the things of our heart come out of our mouth. I thought that was the worst way of brutalizing scripture. But the things, basically all I'm trying to say is the things that we invest the most time into are going to be the things that we, one, that we talk about the most, but then also the things that flow out of who we are. Recently, and this is like just whatever, just to remind you guys that I'm human. Recently, God, I went to a party and there was a bunch of Christian people, and they were there was like maybe five or six of them, and they got wasted, and I didn't know them, and I just left, and I was like, Jesus, is that where our church is heading? That our lines are so blurred that nothing matters. I was like that they're more worried about like self pleasure than about pleasuring you, and he. He just said, I'm driving in like this, and just fully in judgment mode, just driving. And again, let me finish the story before you guys check out. And then he's just like, Levi, how much TV do you watch? And it sounds like a little thing, but he said, how much TV do you watch? I was like, a heck of a lot. And he's just like, when you numb your spirit with anything, he said, I can't speak to you as well. When you blind your spirit with something, I can't speak to you as well. So the gnarliest part, the craziest part about coming before the Lord and spending more time with him is consecrating yourself. And it sounds like it's this huge theological word for basically being like, what will you give up to get more? What will you give up of your life to get more of Jesus for the sake of your friends, for the sake of this world? He literally sent us to redeem this world, to heal the sick, to eradicate sin and to spit in Satan's face. Like he sent us here for that. And I'm not saying anything's wrong with TV. I'm not saying anything's wrong with having a beer. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is consecrating yourself, following your convictions, sensitizing yourself, not desensitizing ourselves, to be like, okay, Holy Spirit, speak to me. So when you're at the coffee shop and the farty guy walks in and you're like, hey, man, like those are some nice farts. I'm just kidding. When he walks in, and he's got, he's a great man, whoever he is, just we love you. When he walks in, and Holy Spirit's just like, I want you to ask him about his dad. And you're like, hey, man, how's it going? Like, I'm into fashion, and so it's a really easy way to start conversation, unless boys are like, hey, man, you gay? But like, you walk up, and you're like, man, those are some nice kicks, or nice shoes, sorry. Those are some nice shoes. And they're like, thanks, man. I got them at Walmart in the Velcro section. And they're like, but then that immediately is just an open door. Well, sometimes we make it so hard to be like, hey, man, the Lord told me to ask about your father. And they're like, what the f? I'm out. Like, that's so weird. You'd be like, hey, man. Oh, man, that shirt is tight. Where'd you get that? Oh, or sorry. To the adults, you'd be like, your voice is so beautiful. How are you? Whatever it is, just open that door. It's like, hey, man, that's sick. Like, shaking. Hey, I'm Levi. I'm new to town. Do you know how long I played that? I lived in Edmonton for a whole year this year, going to school. I played that all year long. Hey, man, what's up? I just moved to Edmonton. And people are just like, oh, he's new. He's trying to make friends. Hey, well, have you been to, you know, the River Valley or whatever? And you're like, actually, I don't care about that. How's your relationship with your dad? Like, whatever it is, all I'm trying to do is break those barriers. But the Lord, the more that we consecrate ourselves, the more that we can spend time with, the more that we can hear the Holy Spirit. And if you don't want to change the world by love, then that's another sermon, but that's another time to come before the Lord and be like, Jesus, give me your heart. Give me your heart. Don't feel bad that if you don't feel that way, because I've been in those places where I've been like, screw them. Those people spit in my face like 1,000 times. And in my human, I hate them. In my spirit, I'm just like, Jesus, I'm confused, but your scripture says I'm supposed to love them. Like, can you help me here? Like, so I've been there. So we just need to get to a place where we can consecrate ourselves and we can love him. But if you don't have that hunger, then I would say come before the Lord and ask him for it. Come before the Lord and ask him for it. The difference between our love and the world's love is that ours is infinite. Do you know how many people that I see that are serving in like these crazy, like change the world things, where like whether it's sex trafficking or orphanage or whatever, that aren't Christians, don't know the Lord, and they're amazing, amazing people. They are way nicer than I am. They are way prettier than I am. They know how to dance better than I do. They know how to crip walk better than I do. They know how to give money. They know how to do whatever. Like, they just do it. But then when they're doing that, like, they're way better at it than me. But one thing that I, and the reason I say that is just because I'm me. But what they don't have is an infinite love. Because just the only thing that has nothing to do with you, just because you've chosen the Lord and his love, that makes what you have more effective than what they have. And it's not a competition. All it is literally being like, okay, I have this tool. Am I going to use it? Or am I going to set it down? Am I going to play my video games? Or am I going to set it down? I'm going to get too lost in raising my kids. Or am I going to set it down and I'm going to get too lost in my bills that I forget that God is bigger, that God is greater, that God is real, that his love is actually conquering. There are nice people out there and I'm kind of a dick. Sorry, I say that from stage. There's nice people out there, and I'm kind of not a nice person sometimes, but I have the love of Jesus. And so I can go out there, and I can effectively change lives that has nothing to do with me, but just because I'm a willing vessel. And the same goes for you. I'm saying like it's a me versus you, us. Man, I'm a part of the struggling squad just as much as anyone else. I wanted to talk about one thing quick. We're so worried about structuring things to being like, oh my goodness, do you want it? You have a heart for homeless people in the city. You have a heart for worship. You have a heart for getting people to give money. You have a heart for helping people or praying for the healing or whatever like that. Let's start a program. And I'm not against programs because we need them to gather thousands of people, which is where See Through Saskatoon is going. But love is messy. Love is very messy. So when you spend time before the Lord, like he literally, it took, you think about this. Jesus didn't start his healing ministry till he was 30 years old. That he didn't start living at 30 years old. He was born at zero or whatever, however old we are when we're born. He was born then. He lived 30 years spending time with the Lord. And then he goes out and just starts wreaking havoc on the world. Like just like ripping all the weeds up in every city he goes. Because he spent so much time with the Lord, getting before the Holy Spirit, consecrating himself. Doesn't mean he didn't have fun. Doesn't mean he didn't like share a little wine with his friends and like have whatever, be a crazy man and play practical jokes, and he might have even farted on people. I don't know. Jesus is awesome. But I do know that he spent a lot of time or a lot of investment with the Holy Spirit and let the Holy Spirit invest in him. Because again, like I said at the beginning, do you know how hard it would be to go from being the Lord to on earth and being like, holy smokes, you're far away. Now let me figure out how I can figure that out. Anyway, so love is messy. Love is crazy. When he cruised around, he didn't like, I mean, this isn't against anything, but he didn't have like have to organize a huge thing just so he could love one person. Those things are necessary sometimes, but all he did was just cruise out on the street. He walked out of this building. He walked down the street and he was just like, what's up, Broadway? Like, here I am cruising around. Oh, wow, that person has a cast on. Hey, man, that's a crazy cast. What happened to your foot? Oh, my foot broke in the car accident, blah, blah, blah. That's crazy. I don't care about any of that. No, I'm just kidding. But like, welcome to be like, wow, that's so nuts. Do you know, man, I'm from like, I don't mean to be weird. I'm from a church that believes in healing. I'm actually like, I'm part of like Jesus. Would you mind if I pray for you? I've seen some people get healed. And they're like, they pretty much ignore everything you say up until say, I've seen some people get healed. And they're like, hell yeah, that's what's up. Like they're down. Heck yeah, that's what's up. Sorry. There's no hell involved. Heaven, yeah. But they're, But they grab that ankle, and then you just go for it. All Jesus did was just go. All Jesus did was just do. He's like, Jesus, he's the Holy Spirit, Lord, give me what I need. Show me what's up. Like, let's be homies. And then he goes out, and he's walking, and he's cruising with the Lord. He's cruising with it, with it, with it, with it, and with it, and with it, and with it. Love is messy is all I'm saying. So what I'm going to ask you guys, we can get the keys or we can get the drums or we can get the whatever. It doesn't matter. But I want to call you guys to a place where you're ready. I mean, if the Holy Spirit's not calling you, I can't do anything. I'm not going to guilt you into anything. But I know that the Holy Spirit, his name is Helper in the Bible. His name is Helper, and he's actually, he's an advocate as well. But he's one that does convicting and helps us change and helps us grow and helps us do whatever. But I want to call us, again, me too, like I'm going to be right here with you. I want to call us back to a continual connection with his heart. Because I want to change the world. I'm sick of living to live. That's not what, I don't want to do it anymore. We're literally put on this earth, like people ask, like, what's the meaning of life? And if Christians are asking that, read your Bible. That's like, the meaning of life is to literally, one, worship God, and then go out, tell people about it, make disciples, change the world. So it's love God, love people. What's the meaning of life? Love God, love people. You know what the coolest thing that, like, someone taught me this year at school is that in heaven, we don't have to really sacrifice anything to worship the Lord because we're right there before the Lord. We're worshiping all day, like, just getting it. But, like, when we're here on earth, this is the only time that we get to sacrifice in order to worship the Lord. It's the only time that we have to be like, okay, Jesus, I'm going to set myself aside to worship you. Because when we're up there, we're just part of the party. Right here, we get to sacrifice to be there. So, guys, I would encourage you, and again, just listen, like, maybe close your eyes or do whatever you got to do. But listen to the Holy Spirit on this. Listen to the Lord on this. Like, he's calling us back to a continual connection with his heart. He's calling C3 Saskatoon. Will we change this city? Will we change this province? And not by dancing in church, not by being homies in church, although that's great. Will we turn around? Will we lay down on our faces? And will we cry before the Lord and say, God, speak to me. God, be with me. God, be with me. And do you know how long? Sometimes it takes a long time. Sometimes it takes weeks. But the more that you feed your spirit versus feeding your body or your soul, the more your spirit is going to cry out. I eat McDonald's. I know that when I crave more Big Macs, when I eat more McDonald's, I crave more Coca-Cola when I drink more Coca-Cola. I'm not like most C3ers where I eat healthy and do all that stuff. But when when you eat a certain thing, you crave it more. You want it more. The Holy Spirit, when you spend more time with the Holy Spirit, you're going to crave it more. You're going to want it more. The key is to keep that momentum going, to not leave it at camp, to not leave it on Sunday, to not leave it in your prayer closet, but to continue it in your car, continue it in your walk. And you don't have to be weird about it. We don't have to be weird. I love being a weirdo. I love being crazy. And I love people making people feel very uncomfortable. It's very fun. But we get to walk around and we get to just literally be like in our heads, Holy Spirit, what are you saying about the streets? And if he's not saying anything, start praying. Jesus, I pray for the theater. God, I pray for the ground that I stand on. I pray for the cracks. I pray for the soil. There was in the history of the city, there's revival in this city. Jesus, I call up that soil, the bricks, the stone, the air, the air that's seen your Holy Spirit. I call that back. We call it to life. Revive it. Revive it. Revive it. Revive it. So if you don't know what to, if you can't hear the Lord, start praying. And if you start praying and you hear the Lord, shut up. Listen. Spend time with the Lord and just cruise around. Just calling us back to his heart. Do you want to change the world with love? Because he wants to more than you do. He wants to way more than you do. So if you're willing, he's going to jump at the occasion. He's not going to sit back and chill and relax and whatever. He's going to jump at the occasion. We sit and we pray. You're like, Jesus, give us opportunity. Jesus, I don't know what to do. Jesus, give me opportunity. Oh, you're not saying anything. Okay, Grey's Anatomy. Okay. You know what I mean? Got my beer, got my burger, got my homies. Again, not a bad thing. But, like, we just have to sit. We have to listen. Sometimes Jesus is like, shut that stuff out. Shut it up. Listen to me. Listen to me. Levi, I want you to make a paper airplane and throw it out of the coffee shop onto the street. And you're like, Jesus, what the heck does that have to do with anything? He's like, that paper airplane will hit someone in the head that will look at you and they will see your spirit and they will change their lives. It starts with the little things. It starts with the 5 cents. It starts with the doing cartwheels when he says to. It starts with the with the hugging, the people who don't get hugged. One of my friends works with homeless people, and she says, she's like, give them money if you want to give them to. But she said, if you want to change their lives, touch them on the shoulder. Ask them their name, shake their hand. She said, they don't get physical touch because they don't shower, and so people don't want to talk to them. Touch them. Give them a hug, whatever. Jesus was very physical. He walked around people who had lepers that were literal, like, nasty people. He went up and the disease in them was nasty. They weren't nasty people, sorry. But he went up and he touched them, and he risked getting a disease because he did not care, but all he wanted to do was love. So those little things, we're asked, we're like, Jesus, change our lives, fly us to a different city and give me all the money. And he's just like, cool, but go buy that guy a sandwich. Or cool, but go worship in your car outside McDonald's. Cool, but go pick up garbage outside the Tim Hortons, and you're going to be like, why? And he's like, I'll tell you after. I'll tell you after. That's like his favorite thing. I'll tell you after. But it doesn't matter. If we just trust the Lord, there's so many times when I'm like, I think that's God, and I go and do something so dumb, and I come back, and I'm like, that had no fruit. I didn't see anything. And then there was nothing that happened. And I'm like, I would rather do 150 weird things if I could just get the one that Jesus did ask me. I would rather be like, is that maybe the Lord? Okay, I'm gonna do whatever. I'm gonna do very fun things and crazy things and be a weirdo if it means getting the Lord. I'm gonna go talk to that person. I'm gonna go prophesy over that person. You know, the Bible says that all of us can prophesy. Prophecy is encouragement, and it's listening to the Lord and just saying what he says. That's it. So the more that you can consecrate yourself, the more that you get to prophesy, the more that you get to love, the more you get to change the world. So I'm calling you guys if you guys want to stand up or you guys want to flutter or do whatever you want to do. But get inside yourselves, whether you have to hug yourself or cuddle yourself, get inside yourselves and just focus on your spirit. Focus on the Lord. Shut off your body. Shut off your brain. Shut off the stinky smells around you. And just focus on the Lord. Just focus on the Lord. And I'm not, sometimes I hate these times in church because when I zoned out the entire service, I'm like, why am I standing up? Your spirit knows. The thing is, your spirit picked it up. So just focus on your spirit. Don't even think about what I said. Jesus, we speak to their spirits right now. I speak to my spirit. We speak to the worship team's spirit and all the servants in the house today. God, speak to us. God, call us, call out that space where you want to spend time with us. Call out that heart and that hunger for you. Call out that heart and that hunger for you, for your touch, for your smell, for your eyes. Jesus, I want to know your aroma. We want to know the way you dance. We want to know the way you giggle. We want to know your thoughts. God, break our hearts where yours is broken. Jesus, set us up to succeed. Set us up to be crazy. The Bible says that the world will hate us for loving Jesus. Are you willing to make that sacrifice? Jesus, call us to that point where we have to be willing to be hated. We have to be willing to sacrifice it all just so we can love you to change one life, just so we can love you to change the world. God has put the same spirit in you that he did in Jesus. He put the exact same spirit in you that he did in Jesus. Jesus healed thousands of people. He saved so many people. And he fended off the angry church people from the ones that needed love. That's the same spirit. So Jesus, we just ask for the Holy Spirit, the fullness of your Holy Spirit. Would you rest on us today? Would you sit heavy on our hearts? Jesus, I don't want to be light and fluffy. I want to feel what you feel. And if what you feel right now is joy, then that's awesome. If what you feel right now is hurting for the people around us, for our city, then give us that. If what you feel right now is a call to intercession, if what you feel right now is a call to work harder so we could save money, to give it all away, whatever it is, Jesus, rest on our hearts. Speak to us, Jesus. Speak to us, Jesus. Speak to our hearts. Speak to our spirits, Lord. We're hungry for your spirits, Jesus. We don't want to be the same people we were yesterday, and we don't want to just hurrah and build up hype. Jesus, we want to be changed, and we want to change this world with your love, Jesus. I want to lay my life down for my friends, Jesus. And if that takes 20 hours a day sitting before you and sitting in your presence so I can go out for 1 minute and change a life, Jesus, that's what I'm okay with. That's what we're okay with, Jesus. We're coming and we're ready. We don't, we, we, We want to be like you. We want to be like you, Jesus. We want to, you say we're your friends. The verse after that says that if you do this, you're my friend. Jesus, we're your friends. That's the sickest thing ever. As my homie, will you teach me? Will you rest in my heart? Will you speak through me? Will you talk to me? Jesus, would you rest in our hearts? Guys, if there's anyone that wants prayer or anything, you guys cannot come forward. There'll be a couple of us praying for people. If there's anyone that doesn't know the Jesus that we're talking about but still wants to change the world, come forward and we can explain it to you and we can talk you through it. But I just want to like sit in this for a little bit. Because Jesus is huge and he wants to speak to you. He doesn't care about your TV show. He cares about what you care about. But he wants to talk to you about his heart. He wants to say, you know why I made you? I made you for all the little ballerinas in the world. They need your love. There's one out there that just got molested by her dad. And she is looking for someone to give her a high five, a little wink, and carry her on her shoulders. She's looking for someone to champion her. She's looking for someone to love on her. God created us all so unique with special hearts. The best thing is that we don't have to be everything. We're all a part of the body. So some of you guys might be apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists. Some of you guys might be weirdos, and that's the best thing ever. If you're going to hang out with weirdos, awesome. Ask God for his heart for your life. And he's not going to give you a massive picture. He's going to ask you to do something, and if you're obedient, he's going to ask you to do another thing, and he's going to ask you,